our next guest talks about economy and numbers. And
a colleague of Larry Kudlow's as well.
That's right, from CNBC, a longtime friend of both Bernie and Sid, our dear friend out of New Jersey, the great Ron Insano. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hello,
Good
Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Are you uneasy today? How do you feel?
I'm always uneasy. It's just how I live.
But with that, listen, you may be uneasy. That may be the way you live, and that's why you've been successful. But on a serious note, because you kind of been up and down, you've had your criticisms of Donald Trump. The economy is what it is. The numbers tell us, Ron, that that's going awfully well, no?
Yeah, economy's fine. Look, there are risks that we can get to in a minute, but right now the economy's growing at a reasonable rate, not much different than we've seen in the last couple of years. Job growth has been steady. Again, if
I... Hold on. So what you just did was something I heard all weekend long from guys on liberal channels, lefty channels, and that is not much different than what we saw before. So what you're saying is Trump's economy is basically moving nicely from the economy Barack Obama created, right?
No, first of all, I wouldn't put this at the feet of Barack Obama. The Federal Reserve was instrumental in 2008 and 2009 in getting us to recover from what could have been a much deeper recession than we already had. Their policies effectively stood alone over the course of many years. The economy recovered. Within a matter of years, the stock market made new all-time highs. We've had 92 consecutive months of job growth. The recovery started in July of 2009. So, yes, this is a nice addition. This is not attempting to give credit to one president and take credit away from another, but this has been an ongoing process, and the economy over the last couple of years has been building momentum. And certainly as I travel around the country, I've seen that. I mean, and you see it both anecdotally and statistically, that the labor market has gotten consistently stronger over time. It is true that the policies of Donald Trump, whether it's on the deregulatory front or maybe to an extent the tax cuts, have accelerated certainly stock market behavior through January and got the market even higher than it might have otherwise been. But it's a strong economy, and it's been strengthening for a while. So, you know, credit where credit is due. He gets to take credit for this latest leg up. But there are some outstanding issues that could slow things down, and we'll have to wait and see how those very trade issues that Larry Kudlow was talking about play out over time and whether or not they get in the way of what is a consistently strong economy.
But in the meantime, Ron and Sonny, you would, and you just did acknowledge that the tax cuts deregulate, 3.8% unemployment, record low, historic low black unemployment, female unemployment. Unemployment is the lowest since, I think, 1953 or something like that. And wages are going up. Liberals used to always say, yeah, but it's all about the wages. But wages are rising as well. So it seems like, it's in addition to the stock market, which is just skyrocketing, as you alluded to, but I mean, all of these things, I mean, is that not exactly what we want, what any country would want, those things?
Sure, and you want to make sure that you keep it. And so I think where I would part company with some people on this is that some of the policies currently being employed when it comes to the trade relations with Mexico and Canada, Europe and China, I believe they're going about this in a way that could be destructive rather than constructive as we move forward in this economic cycle. Protectionism, threat of trade wars, imposing tariffs, particularly on our closest allies, when, you know, trying to redo NAFTA for no apparent reason.
Because it's unfair.
Well, tell me how. This is the thing that in 1993, when NAFTA was first implemented, trilateral trade among the United States, Canada, and Mexico was $300 billion. Today it's $1 trillion. So if indeed Canada and Mexico have disproportionately benefited from the North American Free Trade Agreement, Mexico would be growing at an unbelievably fast pace. There would be very few Mexicans who ever even wanted to come to the United States, and yet that's not a...
But you know what the deficit between the United States and Mexico, and
it's
similarly...
paltry. We are a $19 trillion economy. We have, what, a $60 billion deficit with Mexico?
There you go. You hit it right there. That's the problem. We don't need any deficit. We want to have an equal...
No.
We want to be on equal footing.
Bernie, that's not how a modern economy works. If you look at an integrated global supply chain in which we make cars and aircraft, there are parts that come from all over the world. Their final assembly is here. What you want in an advanced economy is value-added production. You can outsource, and I don't mean this in the way that it's been discussed in the past, but there are places where certain parts and processes can be handled that ultimately lower the cost of goods for American consumers. And yes, the U.S. manufacturing sector since 1971 has been hollowed out for a variety of reasons. globalization is not the only one. In fact, if you look at job losses over the last 30 or 40 years, 85% of job losses have been to innovation, not globalization. So I think people have this argument wrong. Trade deficits by themselves are not necessarily a bad thing. It's the size of the trade deficit, which is under 3% of GDP. It's how trade relations are constructed. And I certainly would not argue that NAFTA has disproportionately benefited Mexico and Canada. And if anybody could tell me the very specific instances in which we are at a disadvantage with either of those two countries, I'd be fascinated to hear it.
Why is Trudeau so upset, though? We're willing to work with the NAFTA deal and make some changes, but he seemed to get very upset when Mike Pence talked about expiring every 5 years. Every 5 years, that deal expires.
Yeah, well, because, you know, trade treaties, are first of all, take a long time to negotiate. And what you want when you're creating business and what you want when you have, you know, cross-border trade is a degree of certainty that you're not going to rewrite the rules every 5 years. That's okay. A particularly short period of time to put in place a treaty like this. I mean, these are major capital investments that have to be made if you want to build and sell parts, if you want to do trade. And so when you're investing for the longer haul, having to rewrite the rules every 5 years is problematic. Because
okay.
These are not small economies.
Well, like Ron Insana from CNBC on the Bernie and Sid show, that we import most of our aluminum and steel from Canada is a national security threat, is what the president and Larry Kudlow and others say. And that seriously offends this guy, Trudeau, up there in Canada. But what they want to do, obviously, is they want to produce that. They want to manufacture that stuff right here, bring it back to Pittsburgh and Ohio and those places, and produce it there. And so this way, if in a national emergency, we don't have to rely on another country, and that's why they call it a national security issue.
Yes,
am I wrong about that, Ron?
Of the trade rules, yeah. What? So listen, so here's the deal with that. There's 301 and 232 issues that are the various, you know, trade rules that the White House has been invoking. One's national security. So name a time in history when Canada has not stood next to us in period of crisis, whether it's 9/11, whether it's World War II, they're not about this. You know,
they even love Vince Carter up there. Come, we gave him Toronto Raptors basketball.
Listen, they got Johnny Manziel. They take care of our problem, for God's sake. You know,
but still, the in theory, you want to build it here. You want to have the jobs here, and you want to be able to do it here. Let's say the Russia got, they had some leverage over Trudeau, and he stopped selling us.
If we're talking about which leader Russia has leverage over,
I mean, theoretically.
Conversation. No, let's put this stuff into perspective with respect to how trade works and like where the economy of the 22nd century is going. Yes, we could have a more vibrant manufacturing sector, but let's take a look at the reality right now. There are 6.3 million open jobs in the United States. There are 6.1 million people unemployed. We have a massive skills gap that keeps people from getting jobs that pay well. We have a shortage of welders. We have a shortage of teachers. We have a shortage of nurses. We have a shortage of construction workers. We have a shortage of truck drivers. These jobs pay $80,000 to $100,000 a year. We can't fill our own jobs that we have open right now that are good-paying jobs. And when you look even farther down the road, in a high-tech, high-value-added economy, the public policy issue that we have is education and retraining, not trade. To the extent that we continue to outpace other countries by building new industries, creating new technologies, those lower-paying, lower-skilled jobs can be housed in other countries, particularly if we're adding more value. This is the way we should be thinking about it. We should be looking forward. We should not be trying to go back to 1950. We should be trying to go to 2150 to guide the economy to where there are better-paying, better-skilled jobs, higher skilled jobs that create more value for the economy.
We thank you for postponing your hot naked yoga class to join us on the Bernie and Sid show.
We're not postponing it at all, by the way.
It's coming up at 9.
But listen, we thank you very much for your insight. We
As
love
always,
you, Ron Insana from CNBC.
Great job, Ronnie.
We'll
Let's
talk
go Buffalo
to you
Bills. Let's go Bills.
Thank you, Ron.
Hey, Josh Allen's going to tear it up.
We'll see. See ya.